The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
We're quickly approaching spring training. I'm Steve Zinsmeister, along with Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher on the Ain't No Fang Podcast. And joining us this week is Diamondback shortstop Nick Ahmed. Nick, thanks for the time, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, you're a part of something pretty cool that we wanted to highlight this week. It's called Compassion International's Fill the Stadium Initiative. Can you run us through what that is?
Sure. My wife Amanda and I have been involved with Compassion International for a couple of years now. They're a mainly child sponsorship-based organization that work in some of the most poorest, hardest countries in the world, trying to sponsor kids and take care of their most important needs. Life-saving needs sometimes, food, clean water, educational opportunities. They partner with local churches and people in the communities, and they're a phenomenal organization. And because of COVID, all their opportunities to gain sponsors for these kids through different events like concerts and conferences and different things like that have got shut down, so they haven't been able to get the sponsors. So a bunch of professional athletes are part of this thing called Fill the Stadium, where we're envisioning an empty stadium, which we've all played in front of in the past year or so, and imagining all these kids filling up these seats. And, you know, one kid equals about 70,000 seat stadium. So we're trying to imagine 70,000 kids who need sponsors filling up that size stadium. So every dollar raised goes directly to these kids and life-saving support that they really need.
Well, that's awesome, Nick. Can you tell us how people can get involved with this event and just the information that you have?
Yeah, of course. You can go to fillthestadium.com. Very simple. You can even check out, I think I have a link in my Instagram bio as well, if you want a little bit more information there as well. But fillthestadium.com, more information, and you can donate there today.
Nick, what is this Fill the Stadium initiative, especially in regards to COVID and taking care of children during COVID, mean to you and kind of why you wanted to get involved with it besides your relationship with Compassion International?
Yeah, another important thing I guess I kind of left out is, you know, we all got hit with COVID and had to shut down and quarantine, and, you know, some people lost jobs and were hit very hard. But we all have our basic needs met for the most part here. You know, all of us have foods with refrigerators in them, and they, you know, are stocked. We have pantries. We have grocery store access. We still have those things that people in the most poor countries around the world don't have access to. So a lot of them and their parents are day laborers. So if they don't go to work and there's a quarantine, their family doesn't eat that day. So they're torn. They don't know, you know, what to do, whether they should stay home and listen to government orders or they should, you know, go out and work so they can feed their family. So it's a really difficult situation, and, you know, the kids have gone from hungry to starving, and unfortunately there's a lot of kids around the world dying from starvation right now because of the effects of COVID.
We're talking with Diamondback shortstop Nick Ahmed here on the Ain't No Fang Podcast. And Nick, kind of along those lines, we're talking about the pandemic. You would know better than we would that the 2020 season was a little weird, I guess we could call it. When it comes to all the cancellations, the COVID protocols, all that stuff, from your perspective, how did all of that go last season, and how do you think it'll be different in 2021 based on what you're hearing about the upcoming season?
So the 2021 health and safety protocols just got agreed upon between MLB and our players union, and it's a 108-page document. So if you can imagine that, there's quite a few different things we're going to have to do and go through. But, you know, if that means we get to play a full season and fans get to come, hopefully this year, to pretty much every stadium, then, you know, we're all going to obviously do it and get out there and play. But, you know, we're ready to play full season. Last year was weird and tough in so many ways. Obviously, our team didn't play well, and you know, obviously we're not making excuses about COVID. But, you know, it was just a weird season for everybody. Everybody had to deal with, you know, the mask wearing, the, you know, all the testing every other day, all the, you know, travel restrictions and not being able to leave the hotel and things like that on the road. And, you know, just became kind of regular and normal, but hopefully this will be the last year of this. And, you know, by the end of this summer, maybe hopefully we'll get to a place where the virus is not as big of an issue and things can relax. But we're still going to have a lot of things we have to do from that standpoint this year.
Nick, do you have to read that 108-page document yourself, or do you have someone else that helps you? Or
man. Yeah, so I'm the union rep for our team here.
Oh, so you got to go through it, huh?
Yeah, I'm tied in, and I'm definitely not going to read every word of it, but I've already read through most of it, and they've done a good job of summarizing the key points and shared that with all the players as well.
Nick, in regards to you personally, how difficult has it been with all of the aforementioned hurdles that you've gone through to play last season and just to be prepared as a player? How difficult has it been for you to work during the offseason, both last year and this year, and both get better and kind of be prepared for a season that you know, we were really unsure if it was going to happen or when it was going to start?
Yeah. So that was hard last year, just when we got shut down in the middle of spring training. And initially, everyone thought we were going to be shut down for 2 weeks, so guys stayed hot, and then it turned into a month, and guys continued to stay hot and ready to go, and pitchers were throwing and all that. And then we kind of quickly realized, okay, we're not going to be starting, you know, within a month or even 2 months, but we're going to be starting who knows when. So, you know, we just tried to stay ready. We tried to stay in shape physically, get our baseball reps in, but not get too much of them to the point where we would get burnt out physically or mentally. And, you know, it was tough. There were a lot of guys that I spoke with that, you know, either felt overprepared and they were maybe tired or didn't feel as good as they should, or they were maybe underprepared, didn't do as much as they should. So it was hard to judge, you know, what to do, when to do it, how much to do. I think this offseason we had a better idea that we were going to be playing and playing a full schedule and starting on time. So there wasn't really much of an issue this year of getting prepared and doing that. So, you know, I have a facility back home where I live in the offseason, kind of, you know, a barn type thing behind my house, where I have a weight room and a cage, and you can get all my stuff in there and come out here. And our spring training facility is open now, and you know, we have small group workouts, so guys are getting ready and prepared right now. It's just different. There's protocols, there's rules, there's things you have to do and follow, and you know, it's kind of the same, I'm sure, for every organization and company. They all have stuff that they have to do right now because of the situation everybody's in.
Nick, last year, obviously, before the shortened season, we saw some, for lack of a better term, heated negotiations between the owners and the Players Association. I'm wondering, from your perspective as the union rep, how do you view the relationship as it stands right now between the owners and the Players Association?
I mean, candidly, I think there's obviously some issues that we need to work through. You know, as a player group, I don't think any of us were expecting MLB or ownership to turn a pandemic health and safety protocol discussion into some sort of bargaining discussion, which kind of happened a little bit last year. But, you know, we're not really focused on that right now. You know, as players, our job is to go out and play. My job as a union rep is to, you know, keep guys informed and understanding the issues, but first and foremost, getting ready to play each and every day. So, you know, when the end of the season comes, we'll face what's going to go on there, and we have our union and our staff preparing for the next CBA negotiations, obviously, as we speak right now. So just trying to keep players focused on what they need to be doing right now.
We're talking with Nick Ahmed on the Ain't No Fang podcast today. Nick, the Padres and the Dodgers have made a bunch of big moves this offseason. I'm sure that players like you watch all of that happen. Can you give us your reaction a little bit to the arms race that's kind of going on in the NL West right now?
Sure. You know, obviously, you know, you hear about guys, Trevor Bauer signing, Yu Darvish trade, the Blake Snell and all that kind of stuff. And you know, as competitors, we don't think too much of it. You know, they're just obviously good players, but we have a bunch of good players in our team, and we just really feel like we kind of underperformed last year, and as a group, we didn't put things together. So we believe in the team that we have. We're going to show up every day and believe we can win that game. Not going to look at it as, you know, trying to beat the Dodgers or beat the Padres in a full season sprint, but we're just going to focus one pitch, one game at a time, and do our best each and every day. And we know if we do that, we're good enough to make a run and make the playoffs and see what happens after that.
You mentioned some of the big names. Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Trevor Bauer, Joe Musgrove gets traded to the division. You already have Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler. Who, in your opinion, is the hardest pitcher in the NL West to face right now?
I don't know. That's tough. There's a couple of those guys I haven't faced a whole lot. I faced, Darvish and Snell just a handful of times, and obviously I faced Kershaw and Buehler a ton. And you know, you got to give respect where respect is due. Those guys are good, and they don't know what they're doing out in the mound. But I would maybe say Kershaw, I guess, just from his track record and the success he's had over a long period of time. For me personally, I didn't hit him well early in my career. Couldn't figure out that slider that he's got, the late movement he's got on it. But as the years have gone on, I've kind of altered my approach a little bit and feel like I have a better plan on him now than I did in the past.
Is there a chip on anyone's shoulder or your shoulder at all when it comes up like this about the NL West now being stacked and heavily favored for other teams? Is it something that the team kind of wants to step up and prove people wrong about, or is it something different?
I don't know. Internally, we're just focused on what we can do. It doesn't do us any good to be focused on what other teams are doing or, who's favored to win the division. If we're the underdogs, great. We'll surprise people by how we go out and play every single day. And we're just going to believe in our group, believe in the job we have to do each and every night. And, the opportunity and the goal is just to win one baseball game. We can do that, win one baseball game. We can do that 90 times throughout the year. There's no reason we can't do that. So that's our goal, and that's what we're going to set out to do this year.
Nick, when you look at the 2021 Diamondbacks as they're currently constructed, what do you like about this team, and what makes you feel like you guys can be competitive this year?
Yeah, I like our depth. We may not have the superstar names like Kershaw and, some other names and players from around the league that other teams might have, but we have depth. We have a good group of guys. We play the game on both sides of the ball, offense, defense, base running. As an organization, we're going to get back to doing those things better. We've had a lot of time to reflect and figure out what went wrong, how we can get better moving forward. And, I just like our depth. I like the depth we have on our starting pitching side. I like the depth we have in our lineup. And, guys can do a lot of things really well. So, we're not going to go out there and have the highest payroll and have the biggest stars on our team, but we still have a good chance to compete and win baseball games each night.
That website again was fillthestadium.com. Make sure to check that out for Compassion International's Fill the Stadium initiative. You can get more information there about getting involved and exactly what this does for these communities that they're helping out.
Nick, thanks so much for spending some time with us this week. It is the Compassion International's Fill the Stadium initiative. We wanted to bring some attention to it this week, and we thank you not only for being a part of the podcast this week, but for being a part of such an important mission statement. So thanks again for your time today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for highlighting that, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
As we kind of discussed with Nick Ahmed right there, the NL West has been a hotbed for big moves this offseason.
Huge.
Not a lot of
what
moves.
What is going on?
It's the worst.
It stinks. Can we talk about the latest edition?
He didn't want to say it. Well, no, and that's what I kind of meant about my question, too, because I wonder if, and I worded it poorly, but my idea there is, do you get excited, because we see it and we're like, holy crap, right?
Excited to play against the best?
Yeah, just excited as a competitor to want to play against guys that are big names and prove yourself.
Let's
you know?
Preface this with what we're talking about. Trevor Bauer is now a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yet
I think
another.
Most people know that by now.
Right.
He's going to make $40 million this year, and he's going to make $45 next year if he stays.
Insane. And they signed Walker Buehler to a new deal.
For really, really cheap. I know he's an arbitration player. Or he might not even be arbitration eligible yet.
No, they avoided arbitration with this deal. So
right.
I guess he might still be. I don't know what his contract looks like.
Goodness.
But geez.
But he's much, much, much,
we should
much
have got
cheaper.
Nick to break
Clayton
that down
Kershaw
for us.
Could be their third. He's not going to be. Clayton Kershaw will start opening day for the Dodgers because he's Clayton Kershaw.
Does he?
But I think so.
When you're paying $40 million for Trevor Bauer?
He could
I
be
don't
like,
think that,
he could
I don't
be like
that
the
matters,
fifth
but,
starter in this rotation.
But he,
it's absurd.
In terms of ranking them, he's probably their third best starter.
Yeah, because Buehler.
It's insane. Buehler's so good.
Definitely.
And then this year, if all goes well for them, David Price will be back because he opted out of last year's season.
You've got Urias.
Urias is seems to be good.
Good left-hander.
Dustin May is still there.
What a nightmare.
Oh. Ah.
Dustin May's hair is fantastic.
Also,
by the way.
Trevor Bauer, what a tool, man. What a tool.
Wow.
What a tool.
Wow. Tell us how you feel,
he made a LeBron decision video.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yes,
oh,
he
I
did.
Didn't, I didn't catch the decision.
Oh, it was weird.
Was it?
A it was bit. Like, dun, 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 dun.
Did he have multiple okay. hats on a
yes,
table?
Yes, he
put
did.
One on?
Like, he
no.
had.
Kind of, yeah.
He had all this stuff. Did you see what he was doing on his website? He was giving away signed Trevor Bauer Mets hats on his website.
What a monster.
Like, yeah, what a terrible. Jerk. And then he goes, this decision has been long coming, blah, 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 and I can't wait, Dodgers fans. And
I
then
have,
he puts the jersey on and
a
hat on.
It looked
oh
like a it looked
gosh.
Like a replica jersey.
Yeah,
because
it,
sure it was. Because you know they didn't have time for the Dodgers to like.
Right.
He probably
so he ran to Just
they
Sports
probably went to the MLB.com store and
he might have even yeah. bought a different jersey for all the teams he was negotiating with.
Probably.
And then when they finally
I'm
made
sure
the decision,
he
just popped it off.
Oh, well, he knew he was going to have $40 million money.
He might
you
have
know?
Even
you
filmed...
got $40 million money. You can go ahead and do that.
He might have even filmed multiple endings.
Money.
He could have filmed one where he's wearing a Mets jersey.
Sure,
or an Angels jersey.
Sure.
Maybe
or
he did.
Blue
he
Jays.
Maybe he probably did.
Leaked them to the press.
That's what
he probably
we need.
Oh,
did.
That's brilliant.
That's what we need.
Oh, what a mess, dude.
With the addition of Trevor Bauer, I think most of us didn't think that the Diamondbacks had a chance of winning the division before this deal, and that's all I could say when they signed Bauer. It was laughter.
It's laughter. It's ridiculous because it's just seeing the rich get richer. You know,
yeah.
it's inexplicable at times how it's even fair. It's what every team in the AL East has been putting up with for years, and obviously that doesn't always go well for the Yankees, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this might not work out for
or the Dodgers, by the way.
Correct.
This They've is, made it to some World Series
by
recently.
The, by the
but
way,
before that,
Trevor Bauer too has two opt-outs in his 3-year deal. So he can he
after
can,
each season.
Yeah, he can go into free agency after any year.
At any time,
season.
Yeah.
He's got opt out after this year, next year, and then, of course, his deal ends.
But let's be real, though. The deal is technically 3 years, a little over 100.
$102 million.
So if he makes 40 the first year and
45
the second, that means 85
oh
in the first
God.
2 years.
Yep. He's
which
the highest
him with
paid
what?
Player in baseball.
Under 20 for the third year, right?
Yes.
So he will turn that down unless he's either atrocious or
yeah.
gets hurt. Then in which case
I mean,
would accept that.
Yeah, if he, I think the only way he comes back to LA for that third year where he's going to be making less than $20 million is if he is injured,
right.
if he gets hurt in year two.
It's a 2-year contract with
sure.
with an insurance
yeah.
clause
oh,
at
sure.
the end, essentially. I don't see in any scenario where he decides to not pick up the second year option for $45 million next season.
No. No,
I don't think so.
No scenario.
It would be absurd if he turned that down.
It really starts getting down to our team's going to be back financially. Are they going to mm-hmm. bounce back after 2021? No. They might have some more assurance for the future. They might feel better about it once we start having fans back in stadiums
right.
and things can get back to normal. However, I don't think that 2022 is going to be the year that people break out the wallet. You know, they're going to still be kind of left in debt and kind of recovering from these past two seasons.
You'll still have those few teams that will, though, like the Dodgers that they
well,
are now
absolutely.
And the Yankees and
the Mets.
All that. The Mets. Yeah, apparently the Mets are there.
The
now.
Braves
the
are still
the Blue
them.
Jays.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's just
I was reading quotes.
It's just so annoying because Trevor Bauer is so annoying
I
and
know.
He's so good and he's a former D-back and now he's with the Dodgers
you
who
know,
don't
you,
need him.
You know what he is? I want to tell you what he is.
What he? What is he?
He is our baseball version of Robert Horry.
No.
He hasn't wronged us that much, has he?
I'm not saying it yet, but it's going to happen.
He
it's
will.
Going
he will
to, there's going to be a fight with Trevor
Robert
Bauer.
Robert Horry was never the
season.
Best in the
Watch.
League at anything.
It's not about being the best.
Trevor Bauer is the best.
This
he
is
won
about,
the Cy Young.
This is about it being personal, Steve.
And got paid the most.
If I can give you some good news... If I can give you some good news,
please.
There are some projected standings that came out as we discussed
oh,
on our Twitter account today
please
that Baseball
news.
Pro has announced about the AL and the NL in regards to the standings. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are projected to win, drum roll please, 79 games this
Woo-hoo!
Season, coming in third place in the National League
Is it
West.
Bad that when I heard that, I honestly thought I'd be cool with that?
No.
71, 79? I'd be cool with that.
It's not bad that you thought that, because that's the exact same thing I thought. And if I said that, then I would be judging
now,
myself.
What's interesting, though, too, in the NL West, not only do they have the Dodgers and the Padres way ahead of everyone else, but they also have the Rockies being the worst team in baseball.
Correct.
Which could work in a little bit of an advantage to the Diamondbacks, who
well,
will
they
play
do
the
get,
Rockies
they,
a lot.
They do get to play them 19 times, as well as the Giants. But guess what? They also have to play the Padres and the Dodgers 19 times,
which
isn't great.
Other things I found interesting from those predictions was the Cardinals finishing third in the NL Central even after the Nolan Arenado trade, finishing 81-81 with the Milwaukee Brewers winning that division and the Cubs finishing in second. Also, just looking at the NL, I haven't really paid much attention to the American League ones, but in the NL East, they have the Braves finishing 82-80, finishing fourth in the division. They were one or two wins away from the World Series last year, and they brought back Ozuna.
For almost nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, not almost nothing, but $12 million for a player of his caliber
is ridiculous. I thought he was
going to
get a lot more than
that.
Well,
another thing about the NL East is Miami, who was kind of surging at the end of last season, now being dead last and winning 68 games.
That is a really tough division to predict, though.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I'm not trying to give them any sort
of... The Nationals could come, you know, roaring back. They have a lot of talent.
I think I think both divisions, it's definitely just trying to figure out where they're going to land. But, you know, the Mets winning the NL East, that's never guaranteed. You can never...
No.
You can't guarantee
that. I have
a
tough time predicting that.
Right.
But the Phillies are kind of similar, too. They spend a ton of money.
Yep.
And then it doesn't really seem to come to fruition lately.
Yeah.
I know they went to the World Series, but that was over a decade ago,
so we need to forget about that. And they didn't even really spend that much money back then. Those were a lot of guys were homegrown talent there. So
it's very true.
Yeah, I don't know how much weight to put into these. Baseball Prospectus is a really well-regarded, really well-respected outlet, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
I'm going to go back up what Nick Ahmed said earlier. I think that if it was all about the spending, if it was all about bringing in big names, then that would be the team that would win it every season.
The same team should win.
Well,
no,
not only that, but it would be that team that makes the big splash and picks up all these free agency, you know, makes all these moves and has the big additions. I don't really think that it's necessarily going to translate to that. The Dodgers are just too good, proven-wise. Like, the Dodgers haven't really changed the dynamic of their team too much. They lose a part here, but then they seem to gain a player that might even possibly be better than the one that they're replacing. The Dodgers are really set into a position of having those three phases that Steve's talked about, but not just for a year, not just for 2 years. They seem to be set in place for 5 to 7 seasons. They have young talent that has really flourished, and then they have, you know, these free agency additions that they keep bringing on. It's a very, very good system and team right now. It's going to be hard to beat.
If I could circle back on Bauer for a second, I read some quotes today. I think it was The Athletic had some quotes from rival GMs around the league, who a lot of which said they would rather pay a player a contract like Bauer's, where you're paying outrageous money per season, but only for two years, rather than pay $35 million for 7 seasons, like a Garrett Cole contract or whatever it is.
Yeah, because that does not incentivize the player in any way to stay at the top of their game. You mean to tell me that you're set for 10 years and you're supposed to go out there and try as hard as you were last season? That ain't happening.
Right.
You know, when you have Bryce Harper money, you know.
Especially in baseball, where the contracts are 100% guaranteed no matter what.
Right.
Yeah. No matter what happens.
No matter what happens. I mean, there might be some incentives in that contract.
Look at Yasmani Tomas.
Guaranteed money, right?
He's been in the minor leagues for 3 years and still making that exact same amount of money.
It's insane. He makes more money than like 75% of the league, I'm sure, you know, to play in the minor leagues. There's no justification for it. It's all about what you offered that player and what they agreed to when you signed that contract. I think baseball is a game where people can change really quickly. I think if you don't stay hungry and stay in a position where you're trying to improve and get better, you're not gonna get to that next level. And I don't know. I don't think you can do it when you're on an 8-year contract. I just don't. But
it's an interesting deal for sure. Trevor Bauer's a weirdo. We all know that. But
I definitely wouldn't sign him to no 8-year deal. That's for
sure. But I understand where Bear's coming from, too. It feels like the Diamondbacks kind of got spurned a little bit by Bauer. But Bauer felt that way about the organization, too, is that they moved on from him. It wasn't just a one-sided Trevor Bauer wanted out kind of thing.
Does he still do that weird warming up from the outfield thing?
I don't know. I don't feel as bad for the Diamondbacks giving up on Trevor Bauer the way I feel about them giving up on Max Scherzer.
We also saw more of Scherzer in the majors.
Yeah, and Max Scherzer's won like 3 Cy Young Awards and was the best pitcher in baseball for a long time. Trevor Bauer is kind of just now finding his way to the top, and it just sucks that now that he's found the top, he's now with the Dodgers.
My favorite thing about Trevor Bauer, by the way, is when he got so mad at himself that he turned around and threw the ball from the mound over the center field wall.
Francona was coming to pull him out of the game. He threw the ball over the center field wall.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, you never want to do that as a player, but fantastic. All right, we'll wrap up. Our thanks again to Nick Ahmed for joining us on the Ain't No Fang podcast this weekend. And thanks so much to you as well for listening. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher as well. We're the Ain't No Fang podcast here at ArizonaSports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.